Good morning, it's 9:31. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and this is the live reading of the Green Valley News for Wednesday, January 5th. Mark DeGroff with you this morning. Hey, let's take a look at our weather for today. Today, plenty of sunshine, high of 83 degrees, winds out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a low around 45, winds light and variable. Tomorrow, high of 83, winds out of the south-southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Humidity, currently 14%, the winds out of the southwest at 9. Sunrise this morning was at 7:13:57, and the sun will set tonight at 6:02:15. And for the next 6 days, 83 for today, 83 for tomorrow, 81 for Friday, 83 Saturday, 79 for Sunday, and Monday 73. No rain and lows in the mid-40s. So, there we go. Let's go ahead and get a start on what's happening in our world. The county has released a memo on dealing with the feds. The Pima County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday voted 5-0 to release an attorney-client privilege memo that gives more details in the event that federal law enforcement agents seek access to county facilities. The three-page memo from County Attorney Laura Conover is dated January 27th and balances the safety and welfare of county employees with the obligation to cooperate with federal officials. Supervisor Steve Christie, who represents Green Valley, pushed for the release of the memo. Conover wrote to the board, the county directors, and elected officials that federal agents such as Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, can access county facilities in an emergency or with a judicial warrant deemed valid by her office. She also wrote more than once in her memo that the county workers should not attempt to physically stop the entry of federal agents and should follow guidance provided in this memo to ensure that they and their colleagues and the county are protected. Conover said employees must comply with lawful orders while protecting county employees from, quote, unauthorized interference with the fulfillment of statutory and other duties and, in the worst case, from fraudulent actors, end quote. She said a new duty phone line had been set up at her office to field employee calls. The memo includes a paragraph released last week as part of a memo by County Administrator Jan Lesher. Conover recommended the following paragraph in response to federal agents seeking access in a non-emergency situation. Quote, I want to be as helpful and cooperative as I can with any lawful orders. My instructions require me to quickly get a copy of your warrant and any paperwork you have, as well as your full credentials, including your name, agency, and badge number. I will share this information with my point of contact at the Maine County, who will quickly consult with attorneys in order to comply with your request as soon as possible, end quote. Conover recommended the quote be printed in large type and placed in reception areas throughout the county, an apparent inner reference to quick access for county employees. She then asserted that county directors should know that so-called raid or any other inquiry by a federal agent asking for any kind of entry or information that would not otherwise be accessible to the public should come with a warrant. She goes on to distinguish between a judicial warrant from a state or federal court versus an agency or administrative warrant, an example from ICE. She said the county would go to court for a stay of temporary injunction or restraining order if we think anything about the documents or process may be unconstitutional or unlawful. Conover said employees should not stall or interfere if an agent becomes impatient and should assume that they're being recorded. The memo was released as Trump continues to carry out his campaign promise of mass deportations of immigrants in the country illegally, immigration raids on those who have overstayed their visas, and non-citizens with criminal histories have already commenced, with arrests increasing dramatically in recent days, according to Reuters and other news outlets. 936. A former real estate agent convicted of harassing Green Valley Justice of the Peace Ray Carroll and three other residents will be on probation for the next 9 years. As he has repeatedly done in the past, Michael Scaramella, 68 years old, proclaimed his innocence during Monday's hearing in Pima County Unconsolidated Justice Court here in Tucson. He accused Carroll of harassing him, and he disparaged a former girlfriend whose case started his long and tortured legal odyssey. When Judge Pro Tem John Davis asked Scaramella if he had any regrets or if he believes he has taken any unwise actions, Scaramella replied, "What actions?" Davis said his response said it all. "Everything Ray Carroll told you is a lie. He pursued me," Scaramella said. "He called Bro, he called my clients, spread rumors about me, and I don't think that that's fair play." Scaramella said during the hearing that Carroll and reporting by the Green Valley News ruined his life and took everything from him. In 2019, Scaramella's former girlfriend applied for an order of protection against him following an altercation inside their Green Valley home, and Carroll granted it. According to court testimony, Scaramella then began harassing Carroll and a married couple who were friends of his former girlfriend. During separate trials in February of 2022, Scaramella was convicted of two counts of harassment for hounding the friends of and of interfering with a judicial proceeding and failure to comply with an injunction against harassment in cases that involved Carroll. Scaramella filed an appeal in each case, stating the trial judge made errors. As a result, his probation was suspended after he served 215 days. In the meantime, Scaramella was convicted in absentia of interfering with judicial proceedings in the case involving his former girlfriend, and an arrest warrant was issued in June of 2023 when he failed to show up for his sentencing. Scaramella lost his appeal, but he failed to show up back in court in September 24 on the day that Davis was scheduled to place him back on probation and sentence him in the former girlfriend's case. As a result, the judge issued 4 arrest warrants. Scaramella was arrested on January 15th in the 1800 block of West Dimitri Loop with the help of his landlord, who gave members of the Sheriff's Department's Fugitive Investigations Unit the key to the home. During Monday's hearing, Davis said about placing Scaramella back on probation and sentencing him in the other case. Prosecutors and defense attorney Janet Altshuler agreed that despite the fact Scaramella was a wanted man for several months, he wasn't on probation during that time, and as a result of his original sentence could not be enhanced in any way. They also agreed that because he did not have an attorney during the trial involving the former girlfriend, the judge was prohibited from placing him on supervised probation in that case. Had Davis been allowed to place him on supervised probation, the prosecutors and victims said they would have asked that Scaramella be outfitted with a GPS tracker. The prosecutors also agreed with Davis's idea of not giving Scaramella additional jail time right now so that he has leverage over him. Should Scaramella violate his probation, he could face up to 157 days in jail in each case. In addition, Davis agreed to prosecutor's suggestion to add one more condition to Scaramella's probation. In addition to not being allowed to contact the victims directly, he now can't contact them through any third parties either, which has been a problem in the past, Carroll said. Davis acknowledged that Carroll and his wife have been subjected to incredible pressure, negative attention, and frightening things for the past several days. Altshuler said that despite what others may think, her client hasn't been hiding from anyone. She said he's basically homebound. He's been living in the same rental house in Green Valley for 5 years, she said. Mr. Scaramella is completely impoverished and debilitated. Scaramella has no working vehicle, no television, phone, or computer or internet, and special arrangements will have to be made to ensure that he can remain in touch with his probation officer, she said. He was in his house doing nothing since the last event in 22. All of 23 and 24, Altshuler said. If what comes up at trial was true, it stopped. He calmed down. Scaramella's former girlfriend told the judge she's had to move out of state because of his threats. He wasn't just sitting in there doing nothing, she said. He was like living in like a caged rat, and he knew if he came out, he'd be caught in a trap. Scaramella knew he was wanted, and he barricaded his patio so nobody could see him, she said. He's revengeful, and he has no remorse, she told Davis. He has no regard for any laws. He makes his own laws. Senior Assistant City Attorney Vinny Darkea asked the judge to order Scaramella to undergo another mental health evaluation because of reports he continues to drink alcohol and has made threats, prompting Scaramella to loudly exclaim, Darkea is a liar. As a result of Davis's rulings, for the next 6 years, Scaramella will remain under the supervision of a probation officer who will require him to meet face-to-face with him at least once a month and call him at least once a day, at least initially. Housing may be an issue for Scaramella, however. His probation officer, Ricardo Chavez, told the judge that Scaramella's landlord doesn't want him to return to her rental property, and he said he'd be working with him to find housing and mentioned some homeless shelters. Once the 6 years are up, Scaramella will be on unsupervised probation and required to attend 26 domestic violence classes. Davis also ordered Scaramella to undergo their second mental health evaluation. And finally, the judge ordered the sheriff's department to release him from the jail immediately. Okay, 9:42. Deanna Lindemann has celebrated her first month as commander of the Green Valley Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, and she couldn't be happier. It's a job she loves with an organization she said is so well run, she doesn't envision making major changes. Lindemann took over for Doug Kenyon, who volunteered with the group for 11 years and was the commander for six. She and others interviewed with Lieutenant Courtney Rodriguez, who heads the Pima County Sheriff's Department Green Valley Substation, and Sheriff Chris Nanos appointed her based upon Rodriguez's recommendation. Kenyon had asked if she was interested in his job after discussing the matter with her husband of 50 years, John, and she threw her hat in the ring. It's a big job. The SAV has 89 members, with more than half assigned to the patrol division, which checks on winter visitors' homes and county parks and helps out with traffic control at incidents, crime scenes, and floods. In addition to those involved with the scam squad, fingerprinting, and telecare, there are volunteers who perform administrative functions, including scheduling, keeping statistics, and staffing the desks at the PCSD and SAV offices. Lindemann, who's a Tucson native, moved to Green Valley from Wyoming in 2014 after about 40 years working as an emergency medical technician and later a registered nurse. She spent time in neurology and in wellness department, where she worked with patients rehabilitating following a cardiac event and suffering from chronic disease. She also did industrial wellness checks and helped teach Wyoming Highway Patrol troopers CPR and how to treat bleeding patients and those with broken bones. Lindemann, who's in her 70s, joined SAV 7 years ago. Because I was an EMS, I've always worked with law enforcement and emergency services and fire departments, and I enjoy it. And I watched him driving up and down our street, and I thought, that's interesting, Lindemann said. I was really impressed with the SAV, and I have been from the very beginning, Lindemann said. The funny thing is that when I first started, I thought maybe they'll just let me answer the phone or something. She learned about various roles in the organization, and after going on ride-alongs with experienced volunteers, she grew to love going out on patrols. I think going out on patrol is a fabulous thing to do, she said. It's just so much fun. You not only get to meet and get to know other people, we get to patrol the streets, get to stop and talk to people, we get to know their dogs and their cats. It's just a nice thing to do. Plus, we get to interact with deputies, and they are fabulous people. In addition to filling out a lot of paperwork, volunteers in the training program are responsible for finding instructors, setting up schedules, taking attendance, and administrating tests. They also make sure volunteers renew their CPR and AED certifications and take a defensive driving course every 3 years. Lindemann has also helped with the telecare program. Every day, SAV volunteers check in with about 90 Green Valley residents to make sure that they're doing okay. Over time, she began taking turns as the supervisor of the day. Those within the SAV are part of a family made up of people from varied backgrounds, Lindemann said. There are pilots, chief executive officers, managers, nurses, people with doctorates within the organization, and they're always on the lookout for more volunteers, she said. 50 new volunteers start to class on February 4th, she said. You know, part of growing older is we need our brains functioning. We need to keep that. We also need that socialization. And for me, SAV is my socialization. It's a great organization and it's run very, very well, Lindemann said. The people are just phenomenal, and I'm excited and honored to be in this position. High-tech shopping, buying groceries, is going through an evolution. For Ann Labriglio and Harold Nashler of Green Valley, grocery shopping has become an emotionally mixed bag. Nashler has a flip phone, is unable to download digital coupons. Labriglio has a smartphone and says while digital coupons are a hassle, she still uses them on occasion. He'll, Nashler, go to Safeway and they'll have these offers or sales where you have to take your phone and scan the label, Labriglio said. There's a lot of older people who don't have smartphones. They do have flip phones, and if they even have a cell phone at all. And then there are questions about self-checkout and delivery and pickup and online ordering and future that will soon phase out barcodes with the aim of providing information to customers. Buying groceries has gone digital, and some people are feeling left out as technology creates a barrier to savings and convenience. Others, however, develop a knack for it. Kroger, owner of Fry's, said data drawn from its customers shows those who prefer digital coupons don't necessarily skew younger. The age preferences are fairly evenly distributed from ages 18 through 78. The 2024 Consumer Digest Year in Review, produced by Kroger's data analytics subsidiary, 84.51, shows 30% of its shoppers prefer just digital coupons, 8% only want paper coupons, 51% want a mix, and 11% don't use coupons at all. Kroger says its customers fully expect an evolution in grocery shopping over the next 2 to 3 years driven by technology. They expect to rely more on digital channels and anticipate using smartphones, apps, and other online platforms more often for shopping and meal planning. And they also welcome AI integration, which can, among other things, help build a grocery list or even suggest recipes. Labriglio said if she comes across a digital coupon, I might scan it, but when I get up to the cash register, I have to tell the person I scanned it, but I don't know what to do with it. I find some of the procedures, what you have to do with that stuff, to be confusing, she said. I don't like it. My way of thinking, if you're going to give somebody a discount, what difference does it make if they have a smartphone or not? If they scan the code and they don't like it, it's discrimination to me. Andy Glavek said he also found digital coupons just a little confusing at times. They don't always line up with the product, he said, referring to mismatch between the product scanned and the coupon. Glavek says he sees other things having difficulty with digital coupons in Green Valley. And then there's self-checkout. Phil Lempert is a grocery industry analyst, expert, and editor of the supermarketguru.com, which covers everything from what we're buying and how we buy it. He says older consumers are on board and savvy for the most part. The idea of digital coupons not serving the senior population has been discussed for any number of years, but the reality is most seniors do have smartphones today, Lempert said. It's not as it probably was 10 years ago, where smartphones were very limited in scope. So I would say that for the average senior, it's not an issue. But once the cart is full, getting past the checkout stand poses another issue for shoppers. Lempert says there are many factors at play in understanding how people feel about self-checkout and what's going to happen to them over time. There are a lot of complaints about self-checkout because half the time it doesn't work. There are errors on it. Different schemes people are using to fool self-checkout, he said. Self-checkouts are being removed from a lot of stores. A lot of that has to do with theft more so than consumer complaints. Last summer, media reports said that several major retailers began divesting in self-checkouts, including Walmart, Dollar General, Five Below, and Target, mostly due to theft and complaints. But Lempert still expects cashiers and baggers to eventually fade away, and with that, a key component of shopping often overlooked in the corporate world. Consumers often enjoy interacting with other human beings. As for LaBriglio, she's concerned self-checkouts will take away jobs. It depends on how long the line is. I don't mind using a manned register or the automated checkout, she says. I just don't want to see a store do it completely because that will then eliminate jobs. But Elizabeth Byrne, who retired from Safeway after 20 years and spent the last five running self-checkouts, said using them is a choice. Nobody makes nobody go to the register or self-checkout, she said. But that doesn't stop the comments. Byrne recalls one woman who used the self-checkout sarcastically asking whether she'd receive a paycheck for the work. I told one customer one day, "No, I'm sorry, ma'am. You're not going to receive a paycheck, but you will receive a pink slip if you keep messing up," because she kept messing up the machine, Byrne said. A big change consumers will see in the next few years could also spill the end to additional self-checkouts. In 2 years, the UPC barcode, that 10-digit code, is being replaced with a new 10-dimensional barcode, which looks like a QR code. Instead of having 10 digits, it can have up to 4,000 or 4 to 5,000 digits, really being able to give a more in-depth information where the product was packed, nutritional information, etc., he said. As a result of that, a lot of the self-scanning equipment that is out there today either has to be upgraded or replaced. So that's another one of the reasons why retailers are pulling them out. And then there's grocery delivery. For some, pickup and delivery became a convenience and a necessity during COVID, and they've kept using it. I couldn't stand the lines outside the store, 6 feet apart, put on your mask. I just couldn't stand it, LaBriglio said. At Walmart, they had a pickup option. I had an app. It's a good app, easy to use. We would go and pick it up. You didn't have to wear a mask or stand behind anybody 6 feet apart. It worked out great. LaBriglio still gets her groceries this way. Has some goods delivered by Amazon, citing convenience and savings on the cost of particular items, and savings from less driving. They, being Amazon, have certain things that are much cheaper than you can find in any store. That being said, 76% of Kroger customers still come into the store to shop, 11% shop online for home delivery, and 11% shop online for pickup, according to their data. Safeway and Walmart did not return requests for a comment on this story. So after 50 years, those familiar UPC barcodes on grocery items will be phased out, most likely around 2027, and in their place, a lot more information encoded in a GS1 Digital Link 2D QR code. The benefits? More information for consumers, including online access to ingredients, recipes, potential allergens, as well as promotional offers and advice on how to recycle the product, all through your phone. And retailers can respond to product recalls instantly, detecting problematic items, removing them from shelves, and manufacturers would be empowered to provide additional content not included on packaging and build direct connections with end consumers. 9:55 and change. IRS-certified volunteers are ready to assist residents in the Green Valley area with their tax preparation and e-filing needs. There will be five locations with operations differing slightly at each location. The Voluntary Income Tax Assistance, or VITA, program will operate sites at the GVRE Center, St. Francis in the Valley Episcopal Church, the Suarita Food Bank. The AARP Tax Aid will operate a tax site at the La Posada Community Center, and Valley Assistance Services is also offering help. The difference between the two tax programs is their primary customer focus. VITA focuses on young families, and AARP focuses on seniors. Both programs will prepare and e-file tax returns for anybody who falls within the guidelines determined by the Internal Revenue Service. Neither program can prepare business returns, but many self-employed individuals can utilize this free tax service. Due to Arizona being a community property state, neither program can prepare marriage filing separately tax returns. Neither program can prepare returns containing farm income. And VITA has income limits, AARP does not. So, the VITA tax sites are at GVR East Center at 7 South Abrego Drive in Green Valley, and all appointments are full. And there's St. Francis in the Valley Episcopal Church, that's located at 600 South La Cañada in Green Valley. By appointment only, the tax site will operate on Fridays 10 to 3 p.m. and ending on April 11th. Clients will complete an IRS intake sheet and go through the interview process with a certified tax preparer. And there's Suarita Food Bank, Community Resource Center at 17550 South La Cañada Drive in Suarita. Open February 5th through April 10th on Wednesdays, 8 a.m. to noon, and Thursdays from 8 to 1 p.m. The tax site will also be open three Saturdays, February 8th, March 1st, and April 5th from 8 a.m. to noon. Qualified clients with a gross income of $79,000 or less will have the scheduling options to drop off their tax information or have tax returns prepared with them being present. Both options will require clients to complete IRS and VITA forms and then be directed to a certified tax counselor. And the AARP Tax Aid site at the La Posada Community Center, that's at 780 South Park Center Avenue across from Posada, Java, by appointment only. The site will be open Wednesdays and Fridays from February 5th through April 9th, plus Monday, April 14th. Online tax appointments will be available at the https://appointment-link AARP La Posada. Those without internet access may call 520-399-8872 and leave a message. And that will take care of the reading of the Green Valley News for this morning. I want to thank you very much for listening and remind you that if you do miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on broadcast info and audio, and then under programming links, click left on demand. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or any other smart home device. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Stay cool.